Is Christ our treasure? This is the We the Exiles podcast.
We will not build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. I am your host, Cameron Wood, along with my brother and co-host, Chandler Wood.
Hey, hey.
On this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray, Jesus Christ, may you be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth. And we're back. Back. This is episode 7.
7, yeah.
Can't believe we've done 7 episodes.
7 episodes. And with the last episode, we premiered our latest EP, Leaving Shadowland, and it's out.
It released Friday.
It released Friday, so it's out for everyone to hear. Like with all of our music, we release our music for free, but we haven't done that yet, so maybe that's something we'll work on this week. Getting that out
there. Yeah, I usually like to at least give it a week once we, you know, put it out and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we'll release it for free. It's been pretty cool to see.
Yeah, we've gotten some
response.
Real encouraging response and this is one of the first releases. I know you and I had a conversation about it. This is one of the first releases where I kind of have like the most peace about the whole thing that I've had with anything. Usually there's some anxiousness involved, like in the past, like things we've talked about, just with like this anticipation of, people are going to like it or they're not going to like it. And really, this time around, I just kind of have a piece about it that, you know, I really feel good about trusting the Lord that his will prevail in whatever he wants to do with it. So as prior to the past, a lot of you, and if you've joined this podcast before or anything, you've probably heard Chandler and I talk about some of this, but even though we're not like huge mega Christian stars or whatever music world, doesn't mean we don't struggle with contentment, especially when it comes to things like this, when it comes to things you've worked on and released and things you've had a hand in. I struggle with that with a lot of things. I mean, even with this podcast, it's just so easy to get in this mindset that it's about you, because our hearts are prideful and wicked. So it feels really good just to kind of release something that you've worked on and kind of be able to take a breath of fresh air and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you with it. You're going to do what you're going to do regardless. And just to watch the Lord work.
Yeah. And that's going to kind of tie into our main dish today. And honestly, that's something that I've been struggling with. And I just have to constantly remind myself of that. And I think even with this release, I struggle with it a bit. I'm used to like staying up when it releases and checking all the, feeds on iTunes charts and just like who's liking the post. And I think something, and it's really encouraging, just like your perspective and I think too, just other people speaking truth to us has really helped me in that, and it's bringing more peace. But I think that's just something that we're always going to have to deal with, and we're always going to have to fight and war with, because, and like we talk about this all the time, Cameron and I talk about this, and even with this release, and Cameron called me, I think it was Saturday morning, and we talked about it a bit, and it was encouraging to me. Just like, it's exhausting. It's so exhausting to try to keep up. And when you're an artist and you create something, of course you want people to enjoy it and like it and, you know, have good feedback. but we get so caught up in that other than over what we're, what, why are we making the music and what, why are we putting it out? And really that should be the purpose for us, regardless of how many plays we get, regardless of how many likes we get.
Yeah. Do we, I mean, it, the big question is, do we find, are we worth more because we have a bigger following or more plays?
Yeah.
Are we worth more because we have bigger bank accounts? Are we worth more because, you know, we're getting the fleshly satisfaction that our flesh craves from people recognizing our gifts and our talents, and they're praising us for who we are. And that battle in your head, it can wage, that war that wages on, especially as an artist, it can be a huge burden at times. Mm-hmm. And it is the constant battle of, or the ebb and flow kind of trying mm-hmm. to find that balance of what, you know, of peace in Christ, peace in God, knowing that our worth isn't determined at all by anything we mm-hmm. can do. But even still, the many times that I've heard people talk when it comes to, and we'll just say music specifically, because that's a field that we're kind of in, there's always this desire to never go as far as I want the discussion to go, mm-hmm. which is, it always is like, well, we'll just say enough, but I always want it to go that step farther. For me, the encouragement is hearing other artists, other people who are pursuing the Lord, knowing, well, one, they had that struggle, but then not only having that struggle, but also having that desire to glorify God mm-hmm. with everything and not succumb to the passions of their flesh.
Yeah.
To be okay. I mean, how awesome would it be to hear your favorite, let's just say, artist or someone who, let's say, who is wildly recognized? We've talked about this before, but how awesome would it be for some of these secular artists to be saved, you know, to get truly saved, and then mm-hmm. this huge mega platform that they have just to completely and utterly just display the gospel for hundreds of thousands of people, mm-hmm. you know? What I've come to realize is that I don't see God working that way. One, because when the praise of man is central to what you do
mm-hmm.
and it has nothing to do with God, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So,
and we've discussed that even within, you know, our goals and our, and what we inspire, you know, to our platform to be. God has truly protected us. And because there's so many times that our flesh wanted to give way to other opportunities or things, and not because of us, but because of Christ working in us, things just didn't work out, you know, in certain ways. And God has kept us on a smaller level. And I believe it's for that reason that, and for the prayer that we pray is like, Lord, kill our pride. And we talk about that a lot. And that's because you cannot have the world and have Christ.
You can't. And even in that discussion we had, you know, that was like what I think I said was like, yeah, there are times I watch documentaries because I like a lot. You do too, documentaries. I like, especially on artists, not even necessarily Christian artists, but sometimes secular artists. Mm-hmm. I like to know the ins and outs of how things work,
yeah.
Especially with music. And so, and we've watched a bunch over the years. But there is this one documentary from a few years ago from a band, Kings of Leon is the band, and I'm not necessarily endorsing them or anything, but we watched this documentary called Tallahena Sky. And in this documentary, Caleb Falwell, the lead guy of Kings of Leon, he's talking, and he gets real somber, and they ask him a question, or he addresses a question, but he says, the next day I knew that when we signed this record deal, that I was going to hell. That's always stuck with me because I'm not saying that if you get a record deal, you're necessarily going to hell, but that truth resonates so much with us because the more that I see of the Christian music mainstream or Christian artistry that is put on the mainstream or for selling purposes or for making money purposes or whatever, what he said, I see in line with that exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Because you do have to sell a part of your true self to be able to please any part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, we're not supposed to be pleasing any part of the world. So that statement I made in the conversation on Saturday was something like, I just, where I'm at, and this can be a personal thing, so in no way am I condemning or even saying that it's sinful because I'm working through this in my own life, but I just do not see it as a possibility at all. Just mm-hmm. where I'm at, I do not see it as a possibility if for any way for you to be completely okay with striving for any part of the world
mm-hmm.
and pursuing Christ.
Yeah,
I don't see that. You may get caught up in that some. We've done the same mm-hmm. thing, but there will be conviction there. There will be Christ pulling you back to himself saying, no, 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 that's a false god.
Mm-hmm.
That is not me. That's not going to satisfy you like I am mm-hmm. the one that's going to satisfy you. And the more that we have these discussions, the more that I see things in the culture, the more that we have, when we see things even in the music world, I'm just tired of all of the me showiness.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what I can do. Look at how great I am. Yeah, I'm singing about God, but let me ask you, our listeners, this question. And again, I don't mean to come down heavy or hard, but this is a good question. Think about the last time you went and saw a concert. Let's focus on Christian concerts. And you go there, and how much time during that are you really thinking about Christ on his throne and his glory? Or how much of your focus is on who's singing and what's on the stage?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ask that to say that going to Christian concerts is wrong or anything like that. It's just the mindset of what we've created or this idea. It's we've created, like we've talked about, we've created this Christian culture and this Christianese where we say the right things, we do the right things, we appear in the right settings, we operate through these motions, but we have nothing to do with Christ. We don't care about his glory. We don't care about being satisfied alone in Christ. We don't care about having everything that is involved in our lives be completely and utterly at the surrender of his will.
Yeah.
And I'm asking myself those same questions.
Yeah. Well, as I continue to grow, it just continues to hit me that the more and more that us, when we are getting likes, when we are getting all this attention or acknowledgement for the things that we're doing, it becomes that much harder for me because my focus continues to get off. And I'm constantly telling myself, look, what's the point of all this? It means nothing. And we know that, like the times that we've had worldly success and whatever, it never is satisfying. It never feels, and we want more and we want more. You cannot have the world and have Christ. And if you're striving for that, you're going to be waging a really, really, really difficult, difficult war.
Again, a lot of what we're doing with the Exiles and a lot of the conversations we have, and the reason that I will reiterate this probably a lot through our podcasting, is because we wanted this podcast to be honest. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to be genuine, not for authenticity's sake, just to be cool and be honest, but to really be honest when laying out our true struggles with what we face being artists, obviously, but also what we just face being Christian men trying to love our wives like Christ loves his church, trying to raise our children in the instruction of the Lord, trying to be a part of a local body and what that looks like, living the true Christian life and the struggles that come along with that and being honest and in some way through that, being able to encourage you guys along the way and then vice versa, have you guys encourage us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, we thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast, for being involved in this podcast, and we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to jump into the main dish segment where we're going to talk about Christ being our treasure. Where did you get that mug?
This thing? I thought you'd never ask. I got this sweet mug becoming a supporter of the We the Exiles podcast over at patreon.com. Becoming a supporter is easy. For $10 a month, you can support the We the Exiles podcast and the ministry of Seeker and Servant. Only $10. Not only do I feel satisfied drinking out of this amazing mug, but it brings me joy knowing that I'm supporting a Christ-exalting ministry. Head on over to patreon.com/seekerandservant. That's patreon.com/seekerandservant and become an exile today.
Christianity is a word that is thrown out in many different contexts, especially today. As we have discussed before, substance is important. Definitions are important. Knowing why we believe what we believe is important. What keeps us, though? How can we know that our salvation is sure? And well, according to 1 John, we examine ourselves to see that we are in the faith. Even more so, it is so difficult to find the perseverance one needs to follow Christ in this fallen world without an emphasis on Christ being our complete joy and satisfaction. We don't labor for a perishable wreath, but for an imperishable one. The main point I'm making is that if you are in Christ, then your joy should be found complete in Him. This doesn't mean that life won't get you down or that you won't have bad days, but it does mean that above all, you hold Christ as your ultimate treasure. More than movies, books, music, TV shows, even the American dream. Is Christ our treasure?
And that's the question that we're going to ask today. And it's going to be our main dish topic.
Yeah, is Christ our treasure? A few years ago, our last full length called Exiles, we actually last track and the opening segment of this, you kind of heard some of that song, but that song is a questioning of that. It's called "Is Christ Our Treasure?" And this is a reflection, or a reminder that we need a lot, a question that we need to ask ourselves.
And it's something that every Christian is going to struggle with, is just contentment in Christ. And that's something that Cameron and I really have struggled with over the years, obviously doing, you know, creative things where you're actually making something and putting it out for people to hear or listen to. You know, that's something that, you know, a lot of times it's easy to get caught up in what we put our value in, which we kind of talked about that a little bit in the appetizer segment, but we're going to flesh it out a little bit more here, and just ask that question, and hopefully it'll be encouraging for you.
Well, I guess a big thing is that kind of goes with that question is, if Christ is our treasure, then a lot of the issues that we face when it comes to contentment, or even the feeling of always having to have something, you know, not just contentment in the work that you're doing or the things that you're pursuing, but contentment in what you have, you know, the contentment of your home or your house or the collection of things that you enjoy or whatever it is. All of these things have the potential, and easily so, to be false gods. Our hearts are idol factories, and we make idols out of everything. And our discontentment comes from the fact when Christ isn't our treasure. It comes from when we make when we put our hope and our contentment in things that have no ability to bring us that the contentment that we desire and long for, then time and time again, we're either A, going to be constantly trying to pursue the next thing or try to be better at the next thing, or we constantly want the next thing. A good example of that for me, I'm a tech guy. I like technology. And there's always new technology coming out, especially mm-hmm. at the rate today. One of the technologies is cell phones. And, I mean, in our lifetime, cell phones have, man, just the rate of technology or how vast cell phones have become, even in our lifetime, is crazy. Even the same thing with computers. But there's always a new cell phone, right? There's always something new. There's some new feature. Wow, you got to have this because even though it's kind of a little bit better, mm-hmm. it's better, so you must have it. Same thing with cars. I don't know how many times people probably get into trouble because they every 3 or 4 years they get a new car, and then they keep rolling over into debt. And a lot of this is because we're feeding the appetite, which is the natural part of who we are. Mm-hmm. And it's this our natural appetite is a result of who we are in our natural state, our sinful state. And our sinful state says constantly, feed me, feed me, feed mm-hmm. me. You know, our gods are our bellies. Same thing with food. And it's all part of the same cycle of sin that results in this discontentment because Christ isn't our treasure. See, to be fully satisfied by Christ is to not need anything else, mm-hmm. to not have to pursue anything else. And so as a Christian, when you are brought from your old self is put to death through Christ's salvation, mm-hmm. saving you, and you're raised in newness of life in Christ, then your new self should be working towards a continual hope and joy in Christ alone.
Mm-hmm. And you won't have to feel the urge always to feed, you know, your craving. I think about it in like kind of the entertainment realm too. It's like we just always want to be entertained with things because, you know, that was good, and then we want something else. And that's the culture that, you know, we breed, especially in America.
Yeah.
Is get all you can, you know, be the best, and, you know.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
Indulge in everything that your heart desires.
If you wanted to, you could wake up in the morning between your phone and your computer and YouTube and television and movies and music and books. You could spend every waking second distracted on everything that absolutely means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And go to bed at night and repeat this step over and over again with the constant amount of content that we have, and it will eat away at your soul. I've found that at times in my life, because what happens sometimes with me is that I'll get caught in a cycle of some of that. Let's say with entertainment. And there have been, Chandler and I have done things in life where we've gotten together. This has happened many times. We've gotten together and we've made pacts where we're going to say, we're not going to listen to anything but Christian music, or we're not going to watch any movies for a certain amount of time. We're going to completely remove ourselves. And there have been times of success for that. And I think fasting from those things is a needed thing for our souls mm-hmm. from time to time. I think we need it actually a lot more than I would say we would probably admit mm-hmm. that we do. But when you get caught in that cycle and you do get burned out, what happens is, not even being caught in the cycle, but just being in the process of consuming all those things, you're getting distracted. Mm-hmm. From what matters.
Yeah.
It is distracting you from Christ. It is distracting you from God's word. It is distracting you from being able to grow your faith. It is stunting your growth mm-hmm. in your Christian walk.
And it numbs you. That's always true for me. The times when I get back into a cycle of like watching a lot of things again or listening to a lot of things again, and I'm neglecting what's true, what's truly going to nourish me and fill me, then I'm numb to actually wanting to go get in the Word and pray, and it makes it that much harder each day that I'm neglecting that. And isn't that crazy? Is Christ is our is the all satisfying, and he says it in His Word that He will satisfy us, and we neglect to go to the source of satisfaction time and time again for things that are just meaningless. Useless. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to fill you, and they're not going to satisfy your longing heart.
They're not, and it's so easy. It's so easy to do. Like I've said, you know, just with the amount of content that we have, and I think even going beyond that, not just the amount of content that we have at our disposal, but the type of content that we are feeding our minds with. A lot of times too, you know, when it comes to pursuing holiness or pursuing Christ, you know, we think, well, we'll just change. We don't necessarily have to change all of our habits, but we can change the manner in which we go about our habits. For instance, we may stop watching our movies, but we'll still partake in movies, a lot of them, but we won't be watching our movies anymore. Or same thing with music. We're not going to listen to the music that has a bunch of language in it, as we shouldn't anyway, but we're still going to listen to music that's positive. And the point is, it doesn't matter. It does matter what we listen to and watch, but it doesn't matter, because the thing is, we can make excuses and fill our time with anything and as much of anything that we want to, because our hearts don't, at their core, at their natural state, don't want anything to do with God. And as long as we're in fleshly bodies, we're going to be dealing with that. But as Christians, we don't really have an excuse anymore, because if you truly are a Christian, a good question is, do you have that desire at all to want Christ to be your treasure above all those things?
It's a heart issue.
It really is a heart issue, and it is hard. It is hard because there are so many times I have bought and sold more things than I can count.
It's true. He has.
And a lot of times, and my wife can attest to it too, a lot of times it's on impulse that I buy these things. And it's in that moment that I don't stop and think. You know, there are a lot of times when the silly things that I think may be silly to pray about, that I shouldn't pray about more. Like, should I make this silly purchase or not? If I would have stopped and actually prayed about it, I probably would have saw it as silly in the moment, and I wouldn't purchased it.
Yeah.
But
there's a part of you that doesn't. There's a part of you that doesn't want to invest in prayer over that, or just give it even any time to think whether that's a good decision or not, because you want what your heart wants.
Yeah, and the amount of debt that our culture and society has, you know. Even just thinking about it in the normal context, let's not even think about it in a Christian context, which is the normal context. You know, credit cards and debt are a normalcy of everyday life, and it's the reason that they're normalcy is because of this heart problem.
Mm-hmm.
See, we always want more. We're always going to want more. There's, like we said, there's always going to be something new. I don't know how many times I've told myself this, but it's like, when I see a movie or a television show that I want to watch, and it appeases my likes, the things I enjoy, and I watch it and I get done, and yeah, I might have enjoyed it, but then I think there's just going to be another one, and there's going to be another one after that. Me sitting here watching that and spending all of my time doing nothing but watching that, or doing nothing but listening, or going to a concert, or doing something, these things in and of themselves, unless they are created with the intent of being terrible, like a lot of music today, or things like a lot of movies today that completely are against God in every way, they're nothing. And it's so crazy we can have this discussion and talk about this, because, you know, we struggle with this all the time. But it's like we can admit that, that they're nothing, that they're meaningless. And yet, probably in a couple of weeks, I'll be sitting there debating or questioning the same thing in my head. And it all starts with, where's my satisfaction?
Mm-hmm.
Could I really go? Could I walk into my house, strip my house of everything that is extra, my television, my movies, the TV shows that I have, the music that I have, all the records that I've collected over the years, and just throw them into a big, throw them out of my house and be okay?
Yeah.
And if I'm honest, and as we're talking about this, the danger and the sad thing that's convicting to my heart is I don't know the answer to that question. A part of me feels like in the moment of wanting to pursue Christ and wanting to honor him and being zealous for his truth, that part of me, yes.
Yeah.
But then there's this other part of me that's just the broken part of me that's like, but what will I do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I should be doing is learning more about him. What I should be doing is putting my passions and pursuits towards him. What I should be doing is filling my mind with his truths and growing closer to him as my Savior, my Lord. That's what I should be doing. And not on top of that, we neglect the Great Commission too when we focus all our times on this thing. I mean, there's still a call for us there.
Think about how much time we have wasted in our life on ridiculous things that, one, they don't push us to Christ and they lessen our desire for Christ. And two, they are just, they don't satisfy us. They don't bring any joy. They might have temporary, it might be temporary joys, but they don't last and we want more. And it's exhausting. It is so exhausting. It's, you know, I'm really thankful that, you know, we can have this discussion, and I pray that people would talk more on these things. That's another thing I was going to mention was, you know, on this podcast, we talk a lot of, you know, we want to talk a lot about Christian culture and looking at it from a biblical perspective. And a lot of what we see is like, and I think you might have mentioned this a little bit, but, you know, Christian culture, we've created exactly what the world has. We just tagged Jesus onto it. So, you know, we're selling bands, we're selling Christian movies, we're selling all this stuff. It's still also distracting. Satan loves that. Yeah, when you're distracted by something that is tagged Christian and you can buy all into it and you can, you know, but honestly, where is our hearts? Are we seeking Christ? Are we satisfied to sit in the morning with the open word and to get on our knees and pray? I mean, that's convicting for me.
Yeah. For me too. And too many times, because I'm even tempted to say this now, but too many times, if discussions like this happen, there's always this other side that pops in, or someone will say, but we're not saying that you can't enjoy those things, or we're not saying that you should give up all movies, or we're not saying that you should get up all music.
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of that.
Yeah. And it's almost like, we know truth, but that's too far hard for us to do because that's not pleasing to me in my flesh. So, and if we really take this stance and we take this line, we're going to be in trouble with the world. Why are we not be in trouble with the world?
Why can't we say?
Why can't we just be honest
and
say?
Let's get rid of these things.
Why is it so hard to take a stance on the one side that is completely against culture in every way, including in Christian culture? Why can't we just take the stance that says, for the sake and the honor of the glory of God, I will not give my heart to the world. Why can't we do that without making excuses for this or that or this or that? Because we in some way don't want to make people upset, or we don't want to alienate ourselves from everybody else because a part of us still in our hearts longs for some form of worldliness. And in our culture today, what it's going to take is this wheat separated from the tares. What it is going to take is men and women who are willing to lay down their every desire for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and people will come at us and say, you're being too harsh, or, you know, it's okay to enjoy these things, this, that, and the other. And it's just like, why can't we grow up? And, you know, I'm tired of making excuses to dilute what we're called to be as Christians.
Well, let me ask you this question. When's the last time that you sat down and you watched a 2 to 3 hour movie? And when you got done watching that movie, you were ready to repent, or you were ready to pursue Christ with complete zeal. More times than not, what I find is that I watch the 2 to 3 hour movie, and after that movie, I'm battling loving that movie more than loving Christ.
Yeah.
Or I'm battling loving that TV show more than Christ. Too many times have I sacrificed my time to the altar of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. God, you know, God has given us things to enjoy, yes, but what we need to be asking ourselves is, are those things that we're enjoying becoming more important to us than Christ? And are those things distracting us and filling our minds with absolute filth? I mean, honestly, to be honest, there is not really any good movies anymore. And those that are good are very few and far between. Same with music, but we make excuses for it. And the thing is, it's just absolute filth. And and I speak for, you know, we speak this to ourselves because, you know,
we struggle with this.
We're not saying that.
I mean, I struggle with this so much. And I have for some time. And a lot of my struggle is because with our music, with this podcast, the things we're doing, I want more than anything to be genuine, not only in what I am saying, but how I'm living.
Mm-hmm.
Not because Cameron Wood is so great, or because Chandler Wood is so great, but because Christ is so great.
Yeah, and he's worthy.
He's so worthy of any sacrifice we can make. And another thing, too, it breaks my heart. I mean, I've had times where I have just completely broken down having this conversation with my wife. And I can see this in my mentality because I can see the areas of my life that I need to grow up. That's what's great about marriage and having children. It really grows you. It really matures you. I have three kids. Three kids who long for their own father's attention. Of their mother's attention. And I can't tell you how many times I have sat down on my couch with my phone in my hand, and for 30 minutes or an hour out of a day, I could sit there and peruse just complete utter meaninglessness while my children are staring me dead in the face with longing in their eyes, Daddy, play with me.
Mm. Yeah, I'm guilty of that too.
Daddy, play with me. Daddy, spend time with me. Daddy, Come see what I've built with my blocks. Come build this railroad with me. Come do this to me. And I can't tell you how many times I have recognized that. I have felt that conviction. I've even repented at times, and I find myself in that same cycle, and it breaks my heart. Because as a father, I want to love them, and I want to teach them truth, and I want to, what we're discussing here, I want to show my children that there is a better way than life. This life, that Christ is worth everything, that Christ is all-sufficient, all-satisfying, that he will bring you more joy than anything that you can possibly imagine. And he's enough.
Mm.
But I'm not going to do that when all of my time and my focus and everything that I put my hands to is all about me and all about the world and all about everything that I can consume and please myself with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is not a, for us, and I pray for those that take this seriously, this is not a legalistic approach. This is because we want Christ more than anything.
What it is, too, is that we have dumbed down holiness so much in our culture that we use legalism as an excuse for pursuing holiness. Yeah. That's what it is. We've talked about that, too. And yes, there is legalism out there. And 100%, there is nothing that I could do at all to please God. My works are as filthy rags before Him. I know that. Mm-hmm. I know that. And I know that there's nothing I can do to earn salvation, and I haven't. The salvation that I have received is a free gift of grace through Christ and His work on the cross, and it will, and my assurance is set sure by the work that Christ has done, and there is nothing that anyone can do to take that away from me, and I can't lose that. But there is an earnest desire because of my salvation within that has been put within me, because of the grace of God, there is a desire in my heart that is, I know 100% of the work of the Holy Spirit in me that longs for holiness, and it should be something, because when I read Scripture and I read faithful men of old and I see true men who truly lay down their lives for the Lord, what I see is their desire to please God before themselves.
Yeah.
Their desire to please God before men. It is not a working for your salvation. It is a desire to want to be obedient to your Father, your Holy Father. And in this culture, we have completely dumbed down that in a lot of ways, even in our sects of Reformed culture, Reformed Christianity as well, we have thrown that in the mix because we're so afraid that pursuing holiness is going to line us up in some way with legalism on both sides. And it's not legalism. It is a complete desire. You should have a desire in you if you are a Christian. This isn't debatable.
Mm-hmm.
You should have a desire within you, if you are a Christian, to please God.
Yeah.
Not because you want to stand right with Him, but because you love Him. Because of the compassion that He has demonstrated to you when you deserve nothing but His wrath.
Yeah. So we ask you guys, as we ask ourselves once again, you know, is Christ our treasure? We want to leave you with a clip from John Piper. I know we've been playing some John Piper lately, but he really speaks in.
Well, his ministry lines up perfectly with what we're talking about.
Just being satisfied in Christ, finding your joy in Christ. This clip is really great. And so we're going to end off the segment with this. The segment is titled, Jesus is Not a Weekend Thing, which I think is self-explanatory. But I hope you guys are encouraged through this, and I hope that, you know, through us talking, maybe has stirred something in you. And
to God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
Piper, I know you and desiring God, you're all into, you know, satisfaction in God. Get that. Can't you just say, do you have to always stick in that word satisfaction? I mean, can you just say the inner essence of worship is having Christ as a greater treasure than everything in the world? Just leave out that word satisfaction. Why you got to stick that emotionally laden word in there? I feel really strongly about this. You might detect. Two reasons. Number one, being satisfied with Christ is implied in saying He's your greatest treasure. And I want to push that in your face. I want to push it through your eyeballs into your heart, or into your eyeballs into your brain, and then down into your heart. I would really like you to feel what I feel right now and believe what I believe, namely that if you say, and you must say this if you're a Christian, Christ is my greatest treasure,
Jesus said, he who loves mother or father more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, period. You're not a Christian if you love your mother or your father or your children more than you love Jesus. And that's an affectional love. That's not a duty love. That's not a sacrificial love. That's an affection. How do you feel about your kids? I love my kids. Yes, you should. And Jesus, 10,000 times more. And if you don't love him more, so, my first reason for using the word satisfied is because it forces this issue. It forces people who are willing to use the language of treasure or commitment or belief while their hearts are going after stuff. You can watch it. You just watch them. Watch their lives. Jesus is a weekend thing. All week long, what they watch on TV, what they do, it just has nothing to do with their heart's delight in God. Nothing. I personally don't want to encourage those people to think they're Christian. My life commitment is to talk about the Bible in such a way that fake Christians feel fake. So that they can be saved. So many churches are just coddling them, just constantly coddling them. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. He's a God of love. God of love. They're not Christian. Their hearts are not made new. They love other things more than they love Christ. They think if they walked that aisle or signed that card or did some few things, they're in. I've just talked to so many of these people. So that's my first reason. It really is implied in the language of faith or the language of treasure that you are satisfied in Jesus more than everything else. Here's my second reason, and this is a review from this morning's session. Do you remember the one verse parable? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. Now, you might think it would be very paradoxical, odd, if a person sold everything they had to have the kingdom, but they didn't do it with joy. That happens, folks. That happens. Okay, tell me what I need to do. I need to sell some stuff. Got it. I'm selling some stuff. How much should I sell? Well, Zacchaeus, half. Rich young ruler, all of it. Okay, got that. That's not what he says. The kingdom of heaven, when the kingdom of heaven takes hold of you and the king is revealed in the rule of the kingdom, as the treasure hidden in the field, you don't just sell your stuff. You are happy to sell your stuff. That's what it says. I can't tell you how long, maybe 22 years, I read that verse and skipped right over that apa karos autu. From his joy, he sold everything he had. You sell your stuff for Jesus without joy? Plenty of ascetics in the world are going to go to hell. Sit on top of statues for 30 years. Leave everything they have. It's not what it says. So, I use the word satisfy to make that unescapable. I'm slamming the door every chance I get on your escape from that. I'm slamming the door on anybody saying, well, you don't really need to feel satisfied in God as long as he's your treasure. That's nonsense. God knows it. You know it. Treasure doesn't mean anything. It's just a word without your heart. I love you more. You're more precious. So, review. The inner essence of worship is experiencing Christ
and all that God is for us in him as a more satisfying treasure than everything that death can take and life can give. That's the inner essence of worship. To be a Christian is to be born again into that. That's what happens when you become a Christian. Your heart shifts off of preferring the world to preferring Christ. That's the meaning of new birth. That's the meaning of conversion. To live the Christian life in all of its practicalities is to act out of that. And where people are not acting out of that, I don't think what they're acting is the fruit of righteousness.
Then you pop the finger out. Click it.
Jerry, have you heard of this new podcast called We the Exiles?
John, I actually have, and I've been listening to it quite a bit.
What's the best way to stay in touch with what's going on, We the Exiles?
I have heard they have an incredible Twitter page.
What's their handle?
It is at We the Exiles.
Ah, found it. Following them now.
Sick.
Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
And we're back. Yeah. Thankful for John Piper and thankful for his passion, you know, for that point to be made, you know.
It is true. I know there's a lot of things that can be said about, and there are a lot of other areas. There's a lot of other areas too that we should, in our Christian life, it's not just a one set thing. We're supposed to be learning more. We're supposed to be digging deeper. Yes, but that is so foundational because it really is. We're our hope or our happiness comes from what we are satisfied in. And so it is a reflection ultimately of our hearts and our heart's desire. If everything that brings us some sort of joy is everything but Christ.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's such a foundational thing. And I know that's been a big part of heart of his ministry. And I know a lot of people, there are some people out there who have issues with his ministry and everything he's done. And I can't speak to necessarily all that, but I can speak to the faithfulness that I have seen in his ministry from however long I started listening to him. And our intention isn't necessarily just to use Piper stuff, but he has had a big influence on our lives. He has had a big impact in a lot of things we learn. And there are many other pastors that we listen to on the regular that I enjoy. And there's our local pastors too, who we look up to who for mentorship and stuff too. But I do appreciate his ministry and the faithfulness of his pursuit of making Christ his treasure for his whole life.
Yeah, I love what he said there. He said, you know, you can say that Christ is your treasure, but if you're not satisfied in Christ,
just a word.
It's just a word.
Yeah,
and that's a really great point because we throw that around a lot in Christian circles, and we say that a lot. But look at your heart. And that's a good examining question for me. We are in the dessert segment. Did want to mention before we open the word, we have mugs now.
That's right.
We have some We the Exile mugs that are ready for you and your coffee to be enjoying. And I've changed our Patreon setup as well. So our Patreon now, it's where you can go and support us. It is now set up with just one tier for $10, and for $10 a month. And we're asking people, if you want to sew in, if you give $10, we're asking that you would commit to at least a year, just a year. And then after that, you can continue to give, or you don't have to. You will get the We the Exiles mug. And you also get our content early, and, you know, all the stuff that we're going to put out through Seeker and Servant and We the Exiles. But it's just a way that we can keep going. And so, yeah, just wanted to mention that because we did just change that up.
Yeah, we're trying. I mean, the beginning of this and a lot of what we do with Seeker and Servant, I would say a good 80% of everything is funded from our own pockets. And I'm not really ever, I've never really been big on asking for money in general, but, we both have families and we have a business that we run together that does supply the income for us, but it's getting more difficult. Especially since we want also the way that we live our lives, as well as with the money that the Lord blesses us with, to be good stewards over those things. It seems to get more difficult with the more children we have to be able to balance some of that into these things that we know that the Lord has laid on our hearts to pursue. And we really feel like with Patreon and that support as an outlet for support is a great way for people to sow into what this is. I know that there are so many things out there that can also be labeled as ministry, and sometimes people sadly put that on a label just so that they can take your money. But for us, if you know us, if you spent time listening to this podcast, if you listen to our music, our heart's desire truly is to bring glory to God with everything that we are and have and do. And we want to be able to establish We the Exiles and the stuff we do with Seeker and Servant as a separate thing from our daily kind of grind work. Mm-hmm. And the only way that's going to happen is if for those who believe in what we're doing and enjoy this podcast and Seeker and Servant are able to sow into it. And so, yeah, $10 a month, we've changed to that. And if you think about it, you know, if you break it down over a month long, it's not that expensive of a cost. Now, not to say that anything that we are rejecting anything less than that or anything more than that, but or to make it seem like that amount is not good enough or whatever. It's just to say that it is a realistic, very realistic goal, a realistic support price, I guess you could say. So if you believe in what we're doing, again, we would definitely appreciate the support. We don't mean to hammer this as much, but I know in my stubborn mind and sometimes in my forgetfulness that there are things that sometimes I want to support too that I forget about and I just need to be reminded. So thank you guys again. Even if you aren't supporting, we hope that you're finding encouragement from this podcast, from any of our music. We hope that that it's being used in your life in some way, that the Lord is definitely using it. And again, we hope that He is the one shining through all of this, not us. Yeah. So thank you guys again. But we're going to close with some scripture. And where are we at today?
We're going to be in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9.
Okay.
If you have your Bibles, you can open that or you can just listen. It's a really great passage that ties into kind of what we've been discussing in the main dish. And so thought it would be good to highlight how Christ is our treasure. All right. 1 Peter 1:3-9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It's good.
Yeah, I was just reading this. I haven't looked at this. I'm a big fan of Charles Spurgeon. I resonate a lot with him. He struggled at times with depression. I'm not a very necessarily depressed person, but I can resonate with some of the things he talks about, and he has a lot of great things to say. He also just operated in the black and white, kind of like we do. There was no gray area. So as far as a man of faith, I do look up to him, and he has really great commentaries, and there's a part of this that goes with what Chandler just read, and so I just thought to read this. It says, "The proven character of your faith. Let us not be mistaken. God never gave us faith to play with. Faith is a sword, but it was not made to exhibit upon a parade ground. It was meant to cut and wound and slay. Whoever has it may expect between here and heaven to learn what battle means. God has made nothing in vain. He especially makes nothing in the spiritual kingdom in vain. He made faith with the intent that it should be used to the utmost and exercised to the full. We must expect trial because trial is the element of faith. Faith without trial is like a diamond uncut, the brilliance of which has never been seen. A fish without water or a bird without air is faith without trial. We may surely expect that our faith will be tested."
Yeah, that's really good. I think in this passage, it really comes down to, are we, like we've talked about, you know, is that what we want? Is the salvation of our souls, is having Christ, is that a greater treasure? Is that a greater inheritance? And it's true for the believers. If you're in Christ, that is the greatest.
Mm-hmm. The truth is, everything in this life will pass away. Everything in this life, including ourselves. The bodies that we have, just like we are made from dust and dust we shall return. Everything that you could possibly think that will bring you satisfaction, it will let you down. It is a perishable item, but you know, the only imperishable inheritance and truth is Christ.
And I love that. It says it's undefiled, it's unfading, and it's kept in heaven for us. What a great promise for us.
What a great promise. Well, until next time, keep your eyes set on Christ and fight the good fight. We are the Exiles.